Well, our question this morning has a bit of history behind it. You will remember back in June, we were working our way through the Eyes to See Bible study. And on one of the Thursday nights, we came to a question that kind of stood out to us. How would you respond, it asked, to someone who questions God's goodness and justice and compassion and mercy in light of all the brokenness, suffering, poverty, and injustice in the world? Well, that's a great question and a tough question. So that night, I looked around and I got on my theological thinking cap and I said something very wise. Dan, why don't you handle this one? He's not here to defend himself. And then I said, okay, this is a hard question. This is a complex question. And so why don't we put it on the list of things to talk about during our Q's from the Pews series. So here we are today asking, how would we respond to someone who questions God's goodness, justice, compassion, and mercy in light of all the brokenness, suffering, poverty, and injustice in the world? Okay. As I got to thinking about it, it struck me that there's actually two questions here, one that is pastoral and one that's apologetic. So first, there's the question of why does God allow suffering in the world, right? Why would a God who is good allow bad things to happen to people? Christians suffer, atheists suffer, believers, that's what I said, children suffer, parents suffer. There's just no one is exempt from suffering in the world. So why is it that God would allow, a good God, would allow bad things to happen? So that's the first thing that we need to think about. Why does God allow suffering? Second, we need to think about, well, does that suffering mean that God is not good? Right? We can all acknowledge that suffering happens. The next step is to say, well, what would you say to a person who says, well, that's God's fault? That God is to blame for this suffering. It proves that he is not good. Well, both of those questions, why does God allow suffering and does suffering mean that he's not good, are good questions. And so we need to dig in and explore these. So let's look at the first question. Why does God allow suffering in the world? Right away, I want to pause and look at something that's baked right into that question because it's very important. God allows suffering in the world, but he doesn't cause it. God permits suffering, but he does not initiate it. You know, a lot of people in the world will look at suffering and they will say, well, God must be to blame. He made this messed up world, or he just doesn't care. And then they will say, therefore, God must not be good. But neither of those things are true. God didn't create poverty. God didn't create injustice. God didn't make the world with any sort of evil in it at all. He created a perfect world. It was only when our ancestors decided to ignore God's perfect will that evil, suffering, injustice, poverty entered into the world. In that moment, that's where suffering begins. Adam and Eve and every person since then have said, you know what, forget it, God. I'm not going to listen to your good will, and so I'm going to go my own way. And you know what? That has led to some suffering. Because a lot of suffering is rooted in human decision, isn't it? Like, what's injustice but a person using their power in their own interest to the detriment of another person? What's poverty but the outcome of bad decisions and our refusal to share our abundant resources with other people? That's on us. That's not on God. So much of the suffering in the world flows out of human decision. God does not cause it, but he does allow it. So here's the question, why? Why does God allow suffering, even if it's caused by humans in the world? Well, let me explore four reasons in total. And I knew I was in good stead this morning when Bert read the sermon title here and said, "Here's my answer." And he gave me point one. I actually had this written before Bert and I talked. Bert, that's genius. I'm going to stuff that in this morning. Yeah, God allows suffering to happen in order to preserve human free will. God didn't make us to be good little robots who do only his will. God gave us the capacity to make our own decisions and freely choose things. And his intention is for us to freely choose him and for us to freely choose to follow his will. But sometimes people don't do that. And when they diverge from God's will, that means that there are times when they will actively choose to do things that will produce suffering for other people. And God is so committed to preserving that free will that God is willing to God is willing to allow bad choices that result in suffering for other people in order to keep us as free, autonomous people. God could unilaterally intervene. Absolutely, but that would be a violation of free will. And so God sometimes chooses to allow bad decisions that are freely chosen because he wants us to be able to choose. Now, other times, God allows suffering to happen to maintain life on earth. You know, so much suffering has human causes, but like, what about earthquakes? What about hurricanes and tornadoes and all of those things? There is nothing, there is no human choice to cause a tornado. So what about in those circumstances? Why doesn't God step in and stop them? Well, I was fascinated to read this week how important a lot of those disasters are to preserving life on earth. They are disastrous, they cause a tremendous amount of suffering, but scientists look at it and say, this is one of the unique things about Earth that allows for human life on this planet. Volcanoes and tsunamis enrich soil so that crops can happen. Hurricanes regulate the Earth's temperature by pushing air up and out from the equator. Earthquakes redistribute the pressure that exists, that comes out of the Earth's core. You know, scientists are quick to recognize that there is suffering that comes out of these natural disasters, but they will also say there are benefits too. Dr. Yael DeBoer, a geologist at Wesleyan University, says, "Nature is reborn with these kind of terrible events. There are a lot of positive aspects, though, even when we don't see them." If God were to step in and stop those natural events, it would upset the balance that God has created in Earth, on our Earth, that enables us to live here. I think he must weigh the consequences of allowing these things to happen and ultimately allows them to happen so that it preserves life on Earth as a whole. Well, that's great, you say, as someone who lives in southwestern Ontario, far away from hurricanes. But what about the person who lives on the shore, who has just watched their world wash away with the waves? What about them? Why does God allow suffering? If the person was a believer, I think that I would say, well, he has allowed this in order to refine faith. You know, suffering is the fire in which God forges faith in us. Suffering strips away the distractions from our hearts so that we can rely entirely on God. You know, that's the story of Job, right, in the Bible. Everything is good for Job, and he trusts in God. But then God allows him to suffer, and it deepens his faith in a way that he would have never experienced had he not gone through those trials. Rather than letting suffering drive him from God, he hung on to him and grew in a way that he never would have had those trials not come. God allows suffering to refine faith when it is there. In the case of an unbeliever, I would say God allows suffering in order to point people to him. You know, we live pretty comfortable lives. We have, by and large, what we need. We're not pressed by our circumstances, certainly not in North America, usually, to think about existential questions like life and death and God and our existence. But God allows suffering sometimes to prompt people out of that status quo, to remind us of the fragility of our lives, and to look to God who is there. You know, C.S. Lewis famously said that pain is the megaphone that God uses to arouse us from our stupor. He shouts to us in our pains. And I think that C.S. Lewis is right. God allows suffering to come in and to shake up our circumstances so that we will be pressed to look beyond ourselves and to look to God who will help. I think that God allows suffering in order to point people to him. Which is why it's really too bad that people will take suffering and see it as evidence that God is not good. Right? The suffering is supposed to propel us to God rather than to push us away. And if a person were to see suffering as proof of God's ungoodness, you know, my immediate response would be to say, well, wait, is that fair? Is it fair to say that God is not good because of evil in the world? And is it fair to say that God is not good because of evil in the world if you're not willing to say that God is good because of the good that is in the world? If you're not willing to thank God for the good in the world, you can't really blame him for the bad. At that point, you're being a bit like Job but Job's wife. She says, you know, if God's only going to give you what's bad, why don't you curse him and die? And Job says, that's a little foolish. He ultimately says, shall we accept only good from God and not trouble? And besides, even in that trouble, God has a purpose. He tells us in Romans 8:28, that in all things, God works for good. Jeremiah 29:11, God tells us that his purpose for us is not to harm us, but ultimately to benefit us. That means that all suffering serves some justifiable good in God's economy. Stay with me. If God allows some suffering to befall you, it means that he has a good reason to allow that suffering. And it will cause a greater good than would have happened had you not suffered. That's a mouthful. Let me put it to you again. If God allows you to suffer, that means that he has a good reason for it. That will ultimately bring about a greater good than would have occurred had you not suffered. So, let's ask the question, is suffering in the world reason to doubt God's goodness? I would say no. God works for good, even in suffering. And when he allows it, he has a morally justifiable reason to. You know, suffering is not evidence that God is not good. If anything, suffering is evidence that we are not, since so much suffering comes out of human decision. But even then, God, in his sovereign omnipotence, uses those decisions to make about a greater good than what have been before. I know that God is good because he takes the worst of circumstances and uses them to bring about the best of outcomes. And I know that because of the cross. You know, God doesn't look down on us as a distant, disinterested deity who cares very little about us. He cares so much about us that he gave up the glory and comfort of heaven to come and live and die on earth so that we could go to one day enjoy the comfort and glory of heaven. He came in the person of his son Jesus to die for the sins that we freely choose and to restore us to a relationship with God. You know, the Bible says that this is how God showed his love for us. 1 John 4:9, there's a slide that has that. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. That shows us that God is good, that he loves us. But not everybody realized that or liked that. In fact, the religious leaders of the time didn't like what Jesus had to say, and they freely chose to put him to death. They made him suffer the most violent, ignoble, unjust death that you can imagine. But even that, God used for good. God raised him back to life. He raised us to life in Christ when we trust in him. He forgave our sins and promised us a world the way it was supposed to be. Because there will come a day when God steps in and intervenes and puts everything back the way it should be. When freely chosen evil goes out the window and sovereign, omnipotent God pulls the curtain back on history and everything is restored to the way that it was supposed to be. In that moment, God will do away with every evil. I agree with the premise of the question that a good God should do away with evil. God is tolerating it now so that we may have free choice to give people a chance to freely choose him rather than being forced into relationship with him. But when that day comes, God will wipe away every evil thought, every evil deed, every evil person who has not hid themselves in the grace of God. Then we will see true goodness. We will live in a world where there is no more crying or suffering or pain, a world without poverty and violence and injustice, a world where suffering is but a distant memory of a dream that maybe we once might have had. We will see the unadulterated goodness of God and we will rejoice. In the meantime, we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Right? We trust that God is good even when we don't fully understand it. Right? We choose to see our circumstances, to judge our circumstances in light of who God is, rather than judge who God is on the basis of those circumstances. And we know that in the face of suffering, we are not alone. Jesus, who suffered for us, is with us in our suffering, and it means that we will never be left on our own. So, okay, what would I say to a person who doubts God's goodness on the basis of evil in the world? Well, first I would say, listen to this message. I've tried to keep it short. I'm at 18 minutes right now. So that people who are interested could listen to it. Because it's hard to capture in one sentence. It's so hard. I've tried. And then I would say, look, I admit that suffering is hard. And I admit that as you're listening and as I'm struggling through it, I don't have all of the answers. Because this is a tough question. It is crammed with emotional weight. And if you're suffering right now, then this is not an intellectual question, but it's an existential one, right? It's an emotional one that is getting deep into your heart, into your soul. So if you're feeling those things, you're right. You're right to feel those things. The pain is real. Your frustration is real. There is no question about that. And I can certainly identify with the impulse to blame God for bad things. Why doesn't he just snap his fingers and make things right? Well, for now, he's giving us all freedom to choose. But one day he will snap his fingers. In the meantime, he has promised to walk with us through the darkest of valleys and the hottest of fires. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that Jesus showed on the cross. So I would invite you to reach out to him. You know, maybe this trial is a way for God to get your attention. And I would invite you to ask him to show that he is good. Let's pray. Father, I admit that this is a tough question, and one that I am sure that we will struggle with as long as we're on this side of eternity. And God, I admit that people who are hearing this message are probably going to be struggling with some really hard things. And my words here may not have been emotionally satisfying. And yet, God, we are committed to judging our circumstances in light of who you are. Lord, we start with the conviction that you are good. And then we try to see suffering in light of that. Lord, I know that you are with us. I know that you have purposes that go beyond what we understand. And Lord, I pray that as each of us wrestle through this and try to find answers for ourselves, that you would help us. Lord, if there are people who hear this, who take suffering as evidence that you are not good and just don't want to come to you, Lord, I pray that you would, in your spiritual way, draw them to yourself. Give them a glimmer of your light in this darkness, that they might walk towards it and find you there to help. And Lord, in all of our struggles, I pray that you would be there to rescue us, to redeem us, to give us perseverance to walk through the fire. Jesus, thank you for walking through the fire, as it were, for us. Because your suffering means that our suffering is not the end of the story. It is a fire that refines us before we come to the glory of eternity with you. Thank you for that promise, Lord. Sustain us in the meantime. We pray all of these things in your name, Jesus.